Grazie. Well, that rocked. Thank you. Fabulous music. We are so blessed here, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We are continuing in the series based on the book Emergence, Seven Steps for Radical Life Change by Derek Riedel. We began in stage one. Oh, no, it's doing it again.
It's not instant.
I get that. All right, I'm good. We began in stage one by seeing the completed vision. We discussed just how, in the same way that the principle of the acorn, or of the oak tree, is already within the acorn, in the same way, within each one of us, our destiny already exists within us as potential. It just needs the right conditions to emerge. And if you remember, the first step in trying to discover the vision is to set an intention to awaken or to deepen our experience of the presence. And when we have that as our main intention, then the vision that comes forth through its actualization helps us to expand and to grow and to evolve into who we've come here to be. Emergence is an inside-out process that transforms us into the person that we have to be in order to handle the next phase of our journey, see, with ease and grace, to handle that in integrity. So it's not about getting something. It's not about improving ourselves in some way. It's about catching the vision that will help us to awaken to the truth of who we are, to the depths of who we are, through its manifestation. And so it stretches us beyond our present belief in limitations. Stage two was about cultivating conditions conducive to growth. We want to create welcoming conditions for this vision to emerge. Remember, it's not about making it happen. It's about making it welcome. And if it's not happening, what is making it unwelcome? And in cultivating those conditions, we can begin by imagining the life of our dreams right now. Imagine you are living the life of your dreams right now. Would you be more confident, more joyful, peaceful, generous, loving, whatever it is for you? That interior environment is what we need to cultivate. See, those feelings become the welcoming foundation through which we begin to manifest our vision. And as Gary mentioned last week, it's about feeling into the field. So how do you do that? Well, today, you're in the right place to answer that question. We go on to stage three, create the quantum plan. Now, you've probably heard the old joke, you know how to make God laugh? Tell God your plan. That's right. Tell God your plan. We also hear that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Exactly. So what comes up for you when I'm talking about planning? Any planners here? Yes. I'm one of you. Some of us love it, do you see? Get out our day planners and let's start making it happen. Let's schedule it all in. Then there's people that hate planning, right? Like, no way, I just want to go with the flow. The Simmons household is definitely divided on this issue. So you might love planning, or you might despise it, or you might be somewhere else on the continuum between those two. But quantum planning is a little different than you may have done in the past. Quantum planning makes God laugh too, but in delight. Most planning programs are based on trying to achieve something perceived to be lacking. You know, they're based on the Newtonian model of physics. The world is a machine. When I pull this lever, it's going to change that over there. And we plan based on what we think we want or what we think needs to be done. However, the I doing all the planning is not the same person who is going to be there when that vision unfolds. You see that? It's like a caterpillar planning its future from a caterpillar consciousness when it will actually be a butterfly living in a whole new world of possibility. It's difficult to plan for the life that we can't imagine. And like the butterfly, our future self is going to be seeing things from a much higher vantage point. So what is quantum planning? Well, it's not about achieving anything any more than an acorn has to achieve being an oak. It's about creating a life structure that mirrors our soul's blueprint and supports its emergence. When you combine the inner development along with the outer actions, that then becomes quantum planning, which takes you from living life randomly to fully on purpose, utilizing your gifts, living your passion, actualizing your potential. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Really? Quantum planning is aligned with nature's planning principles, which, when you think about it, are pretty effective. If you look at how what the plan is that brings the acorn into its oakness, or that helps a baby become an adult, you see, it's not forced. There's an ease to it. We don't have to force babies to become toddlers. See? So it's not about making something happen, but tapping into the vision beneath the surface, stepping out on an invisible idea, becoming a vehicle for its emergence. And it's our core essence in action. It's spirit expressing. And when we align with the root that already contains the fruit and plan from that level, we arrive, in a sense, before we even take the first step. And that doesn't mean we don't create an actual plan. We do. In fact, we break it down into yearly, monthly, weekly goals. But it's a plan that's designed from the inside out. It includes both external actions that unleash what's trying to emerge, as well as an inner practice that cultivates the conditions for it to be born. So typical planning often comes from a sense of lack. You know, I'm deficient in some way and I need to fix it. Well, in the emergence model, we are planning to make something that already exists welcome. Do you feel the difference in that? That already exists welcome. It's about developing a way of life that integrates the entire emergeneering model, as Derek calls it, into our daily routine so that we automatically activate the congruent qualities of our vision, bringing it into alignment and building a platform for it to unfold with ease. Now, you may think that planning goes against the principle of living a surrendered, spirit-led life, or that it squelches spontaneous creativity. Well, planning's not the problem, you see. It's just a tool. However, if we're doing it from a fearful, needy place, it's a much different result than coming from a feeling of security and a belief that we're being supported by a friendly universe, that we're being guided by the spirit within us, trusting in that, stepping out in faith on that truth, taking positive steps to actualize our divine potential. It turns into that. I love this stuff. When that happens, praying, planning, praying, playing are not mutually exclusive. They're part of the whole thing. They work together. And the truth is this: the divine plan with a capital P, your divine design already exists. Your spiritual blueprint, it already exists within you, whether you are conscious of it or not. Do you feel that? And of course, you can't plan an inspired life. The nature of emergence is that we have to midwife it into form, and we often don't even know what it's going to look like. See? We can't conceive of what's going to emerge. But a quantum plan is much more concerned with who is trying to emerge rather than what is actually externally accomplished. As Gary mentioned last week, when we're bringing something into manifestation in our lives, we may think it's about the thing coming forth. It's not. It's about how we're going to feel when that thing comes forth. It's about the feeling. So the quantum plan is designed to accelerate our evolution. And if the end goal of your plan doesn't require you to change, to become more of who you are, your greater self, it's not a quantum plan. Just not. It must bring more of your infinite potential to the surface. You will be designing a way of life in alignment with your highest vision and building a path for it to unfold with ease. Now, the ego's agenda is to keep you the same while giving you the illusion that you're growing, or by telling you that you can't do it. See? So there's a natural resistance that happens when we get serious about change. Have you noticed? And one way that can show up is through procrastination. Anyone? Derek points out that we may be playing the role of procrastinator, but underneath that, we're actually working very, very hard, expending enormous amounts of energy in order to keep ourselves stuck there. And when I think about times I have procrastinated, that rings true for me. You see, I find it takes way more energy to avoid what needs to be done than it ever does to just start doing it. Not only that, but along the way, I'm spending a lot more time fretting about it. It's renting room in my head as I worry about getting it done. And it becomes way bigger than it really is. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. Yes. So procrastination is one way the ego has these antics that we need to be aware of. Another one is keeping busy. See? Too busy to create a plan. I don't have time for that. Derek asked the question, if your life depended on your creating a plan in the next 30 days, would you say, I just don't have the time? That's how the ego keeps us static, and we're often so busy living the lives we don't want that we can't find the time to create the life that we want. Wow. And you know, keeping busy like that, if nature tried to live the way humans do, you know, oak trees trying to do a little pine work on the side. Bees moonlighting as hummingbirds, you know. You can see how quickly things would fall apart. So getting focused is an important part of the process. Because the truth is this, success and genius and talent and accomplishment at the highest level are not the result of some special grace bestowed only to a lucky few. It's the result of focused activity toward a singular pursuit in a structure that removes the distractions. In other words, a clear vision, a plan, a daily practice. Talk with my hands way too much. So we want to organize our lives around those areas or activities where we bring the most value. See, where we feel the most strength, where we create the most consistent results. Otherwise, he cautions, this book can become just another example of shelf help. Do you know what I mean by that? I've got a whole library full of shelf help books. It's where intentions go to die. So if your intention is to live your soul's purpose and your highest potential, your inner life has to be as much a part of the plan as your outer world. This means having a daily strategy that keeps us congruent with our highest vision, feeling the visionary vibration alive within us. I love that. So how do we create a quantum plan? Well, first we start with a 5-year vision. So take a moment, think ahead to January 2023. Where do you want to be? And as you're thinking about this, don't put up any barriers about why it may not work. You know, I had a woman once come from my congregation in Canada come to me. She had just retired from her work, and she said, you know, I keep getting the urge to become a minister. But by the time I get the prerequisites and go to school for 2 years, back then you'd go to Unity Village for 2 years, I'll be 68 years old. That seems way too old to be a minister. So I asked her, how old will you be in 3 years if you don't go to school? She went to school. She became a minister. She's still going 15 years later, showing no signs of slowing down and blessing many people. So think about where you want to be in 5 years. How do you want to be living your vision? How do you want to feel? How will you feel when you get there? You need to feel that way now. You need your quantum plan to help create that inner feeling, because until you do that, you will not see it out there. That is the prerequisite. So imagine, just for the sake of illustration, that your 5-year goal is to have 3 books published. Hypothetically. So now we reverse emergineer our way back to 1 year, as he calls it. If your goal is to be a published author of 3 books in 5 years, then what's your 1-year vision? Maybe to have a rough draft of the first book completed? What does that mean monthly? A chapter a month? What does that mean weekly and daily? Ask yourself, how would I feel in these situations if I truly embodied this 1-year goal of being? And then engage in the visionary, authentic action that brings forth the feeling. Wow. You have to create an inner sense of being a writer. And the only way to feel like a writer is to write. Yes. Derek has found that many people that with a goal to publish a book forget to have writing every day as one of the daily goals. So you break it down into manageable steps that both stretch you and that you can believe you can do. See, if you set some unreachable goal, then you won't believe it, and you're defeated before you even begin. On the other hand, you need to grow and to stretch from this vision. If your 5-year goal is something like, I want to be sitting on a couch watching TV eating popcorn 5 years from now, well, it's very reachable. I could claim that one right now. But does it stretch you? Does it stretch you? Does it help you evolve into who you've come here to be? We need both. We need to both believe it and to stretch and to grow into it. Your stomach gets stretched when you eat popcorn every night in front of the TV. And as you do this reverse emergineering, breaking it down into manageable increments, you may find that the goal you've chosen is unreasonable, you see. As you start seeing what has to happen every day, you might say, okay, maybe 3 books in 5 years is a little ambitious. Maybe 2. Remember, you have to be able to see it as a possibility. And the idea is to create success patterns rather than failure patterns. You see? And Derek says this, most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a lifetime. This is one of my favorite Norman Rockwell's, where she's pushing up and he's pushing down. So we overestimate what we can do in a year, underestimate what we can do in a lifetime. So a plan without vision just perpetuates the status quo. And a vision without a plan is just wishful thinking. And it's not about becoming rigid or attached to an outcome, because we don't know what it will ultimately look like. When I decided to write a book, I had an idea in mind. I was able to set a specific goal. But I have to tell you that as it evolved, it turned into something well beyond what I had originally seen. You see? So we want to start with something specific. Otherwise, the ego will try to keep our goals vague, and our results will be equally vague, Remember Edwin Gaines, what happens in vagueness stays in vagueness. And no real change will happen. So we want something concrete to work toward while keeping ourselves open to guidance and change and direction and evolution. See? So are you ready to create a life in line with your soul's essence and purpose?
Yes.
That's the correct response. Don't let your life be an effect of external circumstances. Step into being the cause. Being the cause in your life. And this isn't a wish list that you're hoping will happen. This is a definite vision that you're committing to fulfilling. And working towards those goals and commitments is really keeping your word with yourself. Can you feel that? Keeping your word with yourself. Remember, we're not dealing with a theoretical model here. We're dealing with a reality that is waiting to be facilitated into emergence. It already exists. We just have to tune in and midwife it into being. Take the actions that help it emerge. This vision is an infinite, perfect, changeless pattern of who you really are that becomes progressively clearer as you awaken. So here's the practice for this week. Think ahead to January 2023. Where do you want to be in your life? How do you want to feel? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? Get a clear picture. Spend some time in the silence asking that question. And remember, when you set an intention to awaken and then move into that visioning process, you will get the guidance if you listen and ask. Then reverse emergeneer your way back to right now, to this moment. Break it down into one-year goals. If that's what you want to be doing in 5 years, what are the incremental yearly goals? Then monthly, weekly, daily, until you find yourself sitting in that seat right now, saying to yourself, I can do this. Right? Let me hear you say it. I can do this. All right, so reverse emergeneer right back to now. This whole emergence model rests on the idea that life happens through you and not to you, and we have evolved to a place where we must co-create with the evolutionary impulse in order to fulfill our destiny. Can you feel that? We want to stop believing that the world is happening to us and realize that we are happening to the world. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Yes. So, are you ready to be unleashed?
Yes.
God bless. Let's do it.